message I have for us tonight comes out of Amos chapter 8, a phrase that stuck out to me about God not forgetting. And Amos chapter 8, verses 4 through 7 say this: "Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver, and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuse of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works." Now we know that God doesn't forget good works, but here I want us to think about how God does not forget sin, and how the passing of time doesn't affect God's judgment on sin. And we need to fear and reverence the Lord and never think sin was okay just because it happened a long time ago.
Yes, amen.
We tend to become more distant from things that have happened a long time ago, and they're not immediate in our mind. And an example of this is from Genesis 27, after Jacob took Esau's blessing. Says, "And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah, and she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, and flee thou to Laban my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days, until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then will I send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day?" And so Rebekah tells Jacob to go away and let Esau's anger die down.
Uh-huh.
And now, I'm sure Esau did not forget what happened. But, you know, all those years later, Esau was a lot... they met on good terms later.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of did work out that way, in that he waited many years and the anger of the moment kind of passed, and they were peaceful with one another. But God, on the other hand, is outside of time. And it's not like if you wait a long time, God's going to forget about it. Or it's just so far in the past that we're just moving on. No, God says, surely I will never forget any of their works. These people in Amos were cheating the people that they were selling, falsifying the balances. They were oppressing the poor, and they were speaking evil of God's feasts and God's Sabbaths. And God said that he won't forget any of these things. And this should be fearful to those who will go against the Lord. Fearful to anyone also who has unrepentant sin. Something that we've done a long time ago, and you think, well, that's in the past, I'm moving on. Without repenting of known sin, you are in danger of God's judgment, because yes, God won't forget about sin, even if it's been a long time in the past.
Amen.
So I hope that these verses encourage all of us and exhort us not to just let things go because it happened a long time ago. And I pray that we can be able to to warn the wicked who would continue on in sin that God will not forget sin either. Proverbs 11:21 says, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. And no matter how much coordination there is, often the wicked will work together to get each other out of trouble in this world. And sometimes it seems like they're successful in that, but it says, no matter what, the wicked shall not be unpunished.
Yes.
No one ever gets away with anything. You know, even if they get away with it on the earth, they really didn't get away with it, because God will never forget any of their works. Exodus 34:6, this is when Moses is, when God is speaking his name to Moses, he says, the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. So we know that God is merciful and forgiving sin, but he doesn't forgive sin that hasn't been taken care of by being repented and Christ's blood being applied.
Amen.
It says he will by no means clear the guilty. If someone is guilty, God's justice demands something happen to it. Nahum 1:2-3. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. We know he's slow to anger and great in power, but he also will not acquit the wicked. That's let him go free and ignore the sin. And these are fearful verses, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Without understanding and being aware of this, we will have too casual an attitude about sin. We have to recognize that the Lord will not acquit the guilty or the wicked. No one will escape. Romans 2:3. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. He asked, do you think that you will escape the judgment of God? And lots of people think this, maybe not explicitly, but their actions show that they do think that they will escape the judgment of God. And God's goodness and forbearance is meant to lead us to repentance.
Yes.
It gives us the opportunity to repent. It's not an indication that things will continue on exactly in that way. Just
Amen.
Like we see that the flood happened, and Peter tells us that that same thing is going to happen again, that people are going to be, their time is going to be up. But instead of thinking that God's forbearance means God's approval, what what this says is happening is that there's treasuring up of wrath against the day of wrath. It's like all these things, treasuring up means it's being stored up. And every sin is being recorded, and God's wrath is being stored up for that sin. Jeremiah 23:19. Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly. It says the anger of the Lord won't return till he's performed the thoughts of his heart. It's not like God's anger will subside over time. It's not like God overreacts and corrects back like people do.
Right.
God's anger is perfectly justified by the sin, and it will continue to be until something happens about it. Either his judgment, or we know that we've experienced the forgiveness, and so there's no more reason for God's anger towards us. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. God remembers, and he makes this inquisition for blood. In other words, he determines who's at fault and how this happened, and it's like a court case, and he places judgment appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
So we cannot escape God's judgment. And what, although sometimes this judgment happens now on earth, the final judgment will happen at the last day. So let's look at some verses about that. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. It's this thought of giving account. It's like it's written down somewhere, and you'll be asked about it. In other words, God will never forget. 1 Peter 4:4. Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. So these people who run to this riot, this living in the lusts of the flesh, it says they will give account, and God's going to demand of them their reason for all this, and they will have nothing to say.
Mm-hmm.
Revelation 20, verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. So in heaven, at this judgment, it says that there are books. It's books written, and it says judged by what's in the books, according to their works. So that tells me that the works, our works, are written in God's books. And for those who are not forgiven, the works that you have done will condemn you. If you're not forgiven of it, God has a record of it. It's written down.
Mm-hmm.
Revelation 16:17. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, It is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. This term says that Babylon came into remembrance before God, and God remembered everything that had been done in Babylon. And this, as a picture of the false church, no matter who you are, if you are going against the Lord, God has a remembrance of all the things that you've done. Made me think about this account from Genesis 40. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. And an imperfect example, but here's Pharaoh taking these people who had been there just sitting and waiting in the dungeon. He took them out and evaluated their case, and he judged them according to how he evaluated. But this will be like what happens at the end of the world, that everyone's going to be taken out and evaluated. I have a couple examples of God doing this in the time of the kings. The first is 1 Samuel 15, 1. And Samuel also said unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them none, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." Now this was hundreds of years before that Amalek had done this to Israel. And yet here God says he remembers what they did, and he's sending out Saul to punish them. Now, we know God deals with people individually, and God's judgment is just on, even though these people had not done that themselves, we know that God addresses each person individually. But as a whole, what God was showing in this was that God doesn't forget what, and we can apply this to each one of us, that no matter if it seems like it's been, you know, hundreds of years, happened way in the past, God remembers each thing that's happened. Mm-hmm. And then again in 2 Samuel 21, there was a famine in the days of David, 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, "It is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites." And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them, now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites, and the children of Israel had sworn to them. And Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, "What shall I do for you? And wherewith shall I make the atonement, that ye may bless the inheritance of the Lord?" And the Gibeonites said unto him, "We will have no silver nor gold of Saul nor of his house, neither for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel." And he said, "What shall ye say that I will do for you?" And they answered the king, "The man that hath consumed us and that hath devised against us that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coasts of Israel, let 7 men of his sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the king said, I will give them. And once again, this was something that happened a long time ago. And this was God's. God was judging because there was something, something unjust that had happened many years ago, and God did not forget about what had happened. And God does not forget. Now, we want to be on the other end of it. We want to be the one that God is standing up for. But we also need to fear that we don't continue on in sin, even if it seems like it hasn't affected us. We're familiar with Psalm 73 and how Asaph was envious at the foolish. He said, they're not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. He said, pride compasseth them about as a chain. He said that they have more that heart than heart could wish. Their words were, their mouth was set against the heavens. It says, and they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency, for all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. This message can keep us from being envious at the wicked's position. Because it looks like the wicked are doing well and they're comfortable, and they're the leaders in the world. Yet, when Asaph saw their end, he saw that their position was not to be envied. So not only should we avoid doing these things that are against the Lord, we do not envy their position. Yes. We should never look at someone who has the wrath of God being treasured up to them and think, I wish I were like them. Because you don't wish you were like that.
Yes.
Because it said there's in slippery places. Deuteronomy 32:35, to me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand. And the things that shall come upon them shall make haste.
Amen.
So he says, in due time, their foot will slide. They seem to be standing fine right now, but in due time, at some point, you can't make it forever. You can't go forever without having your foot slide here. So let's not be envious of their position. Let's think about them in a very precarious position.
Yes.
So then what do we do about this? Well, it says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. I think that's the simple answer to all this.
Amen.
The summary of all that I've said is that if you cover your sins, you shall not prosper. There's no way you can do to avoid, nothing you can do to avoid the judgment. At the end of the world, everything will be visible. God's books have it all recorded. So if you cover your sin, it won't, you will not prosper. But the hope for us is that whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. It's not saying whosoever has not sinned, because mercy isn't for those who have not sinned. Mercy is for those who have. But if you confess and forsake them, God will provide mercy. And then instead of God saying, surely I will never forget any of their works, God instead says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their right unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more.
Amen.
And this, you know, this is the praise to Jesus for turning around that statement about never forgetting to now God saying, remember no more. And we thank Christ for his sacrifice to turn this around for us. Certainly there is the fear of the Lord, and there should be fear to have sin that is covered and not confessed and forsaken. But when we are forgiven by Christ, God has given his word that he not only does he not punish us for the sin, but he says, I will remember them no more.
Amen.
And then in that situation, we can be his people and we can all know him, because there's no more that sin separating us.
Amen.
I'll open it up for comments on that.
It truly is a blessed man whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom he will not impute sin.
I had a friend that he made an effort to try to remember all those things that he wanted to confess and ask forgiveness for. My question is, what if he can't remember them all?
That's why we try to clean up our life each day as we go. There's too many things to try for us humans to remember.
Amen.
Yeah, there's probably no way you could remember all of them. When we ask the Lord to forgive us of our sins, I think we include any sin that we know about and confess and forsake it, and anything that we may have done and forgotten about that God hasn't forgotten about.
Mm-hmm. Our hearts are towards him, so when we ask him to forgive us for our sins and we repent of our sins, we are including all those sins that we may have forgotten about in the past. We forsake all those sins, and so in a way we are including them. I mean, even if we did forget a certain something that we did, we understand that if it's sin, we are repenting of it.
Amen. And we, like the psalm we read tonight, we say, search me, O God, know my heart, try me and see if there's any wicked way in me. We ask him to show us if there's something we need to repent of. And he's not going to withhold something that we're wanting to repent of. He would not withhold it. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then God also is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have showed toward his name. that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Hebrews 6:10.
Wicked are in peril because God has a good memory. We're happy that God has a good memory.
That's true.
Yes.
All right, let's stand together. Brother John, could you close prayer?
Heavenly Father, thank you for these exhorting words of us to search and ask you to search our hearts that we may be in right fellowship with you. Help us to hate sin in every way. Thank you for all studies. We pray, Heavenly Father, we remember these things and help us not to have presumptuous sins, but to hate sin with a fervent hatred. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Paul.